Hey, good morning, church. I'm so excited that you're able to join us again this morning. You're joining us. This is Go Christian Church, Pretoria East. We are really, really excited that this morning we are able to come and spend time in the presence of the Lord. You are blessed because you are going to hear the word of God, and the Lord is going to bless you, is going to change you, is going to transform you. I want us to pray together. If you're okay in the comfort of your house this morning, I want you to just open up your hands and just talk to the Lord. Lift your hands and talk to the Lord right now, and let's commit this time in the hands of God. Father, we thank you this morning for your faithfulness. We thank you that, Father, you are here right now. Your word tells us that wherever two or three gather in my name, there I am in their midst by my spirit. And so this morning we thank you that you are right here and that you're going to minister to each one of us. I pray for that one who is watching from home right now. I pray that your glory would overshadow them. I pray that they would experience a move of God in their lives like never before. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So I'm really, really excited this morning. We're going to spend a bit of time in worship. We're going to worship the King of Glory this morning. We're going to bow down. We're going to exalt the name of Jesus because that is the most powerful name on earth, in heaven, under the earth. Glory be to God. The song we're going to worship with this morning is a song by Israel Houghton. It's a song that says, Jesus be the center of my life. When Jesus is at the center of your life, I want you to know there is hope for your life. There is hope for your marriage. There is hope for this nation. There is hope for our church. And this morning, I want us to lift up the name of Jesus. I want us to glorify him. I want us to exalt him this morning and say, Jesus, be the center of my life. In the name of Jesus. Are you ready to worship? You can rise up. You can kneel down. Whatever position you want to take right now, I want you to just take a moment and focus on Jesus. Take a moment and focus on the King of Glory. Shall we worship together? Yes, Lord, we thank you because you are the King of Glory. Be the center of our lives. And this morning we welcome you in this place. We welcome you in our homes. That, Lord, you be magnified.
We worship
that you
this
be the
morning,
center
Lord.
Of our lives. Be exalted this
we
morning.
We declare together that it's all
up,
about
Lord. Be the center of everything,
you,
Lord,
Jesus.
God, this morning. Be the center
the
of this
center
nation.
Of
even as we go through this moment of sickness in our nation, Lord, we want to give one to you, oh God, to be the center of it all. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Jesus at the center of it all, from beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, and nothing else matters, nothing in this world. Jesus, you're the center. Everything revolves around you. Jesus, you.
Jesus, be the center. Say,
Jesus, be the center of my life. Jesus, be the center of my life. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus, oh,
Jesus,
and nothing else matters, nothing in this world will do, Jesus, Jesus, you're the same. From my heart to the heavens,
Jesus, be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus, be the center. It's all about, all about you.
Yes, it's all about.
We pray. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus, be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all. The center of your church. Jesus, be the center of your church. And every knee will bow, and every tongue shall confess you, Jesus.
Ah!
Jesus. Come on, shout that name.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Yes, Lord, we thank you that you are the center of our lives. And even as I preach the word this morning, may you be the center of this word. May you be the center, Lord, so that Jesus can be exalted. Father, I humble myself this morning as I preach this word. I decree that Jesus would increase. And even right now, Lord, I thank you that the entrance of your word brings light. And it brings understanding to those of a simple heart. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Wow, that was really a wonderful time of worship as we declare that Jesus be the center of our lives. And as we're going to get into the word right now, I want you to allow Jesus to be at the center of this word. I want you to allow Jesus to minister to you, to do something special in your heart as you hear the word. So this morning, God willing, I intend to cover the second last aspect of physical healing. We've been going through this series entitled Nothing Stays Behind. And I've been saying to you, when Jesus comes into your life, nothing stays behind. And one of the things that should not stay behind is your physical body, is what happens in your body. Jesus is concerned about that. And we're going to just go deeper. And God willing, next week, I'll finish off this topic. I really want to lay down principles that will help you to experience healing in your body in the name of Jesus. Now, in the past 2 weeks, we covered a number of topics around physical healing. And the first topic that we looked at was, we said, your physical body matters to the kingdom agenda. You remember we spoke about Jesus wants you to be in your body so that he can use you for his glory. Hallelujah. And that is what Jesus wants to do in your life. That's what Jesus wants to do in our nation. And the second aspect we looked at was healing is a basic need for a believer. I really found that to be faith building, knowing that it is a basic need. And Jesus is not going to withhold any basic need from you, child of God. The Bible says, no good thing will he withhold from those that love him. And health is a good thing. Isn't it? It is a good thing. And the Lord is not going to hold that from you, hold back from you. And the third aspect that we discovered was that Jesus wants to heal you. And this is very, very interesting because some of us are not very confident when we pray because we are not sure whether Jesus really wants to bring healing in our bodies. And we went through scriptures last week. We unpacked and we saw that there is no evidence in the scriptures that point to the fact that Jesus denied anybody who wanted healing. And this morning, I want to lay down one more principle around this matter of healing in your body. I want to lay down one more principle. And my prayer as you listen to me, as you watch me in your home, I pray that faith would be triggered in your heart right now. Now, in my working career of 16 years, I have moved jobs three times. I've moved jobs three times. And every time I moved a job, I've realized that the first months are really tricky. They are not very easy to go by. You find that you're almost like trading on eggshells in your office. You feel a little bit of tension when you're having meetings. And I got to discover that the reason why it wasn't easy whenever I moved into a new team, it is because everybody is sussing me out, wanting to see whether I've got the capacity to deliver. You'd find that the one who employed you, yes, they looked at your CV, they had you in an interview scenario, but in their hearts, they're really wondering whether this person can deliver or not. It speaks of capacity. Yes, you've bought a gadget, maybe it's a camera, maybe it's a new phone, and it promises to deliver. Maybe it's a new vehicle and it tells you this vehicle pushes so many newtons or per second, whatever it is. What do? You take it on a test drive to see whether it can really produce. And these days with the Consumer Protection Act, if you are not happy with the product and it's not in line with the specs, what do? You have an opportunity to take it back. Why? Because it's not delivering what has been promised. And I've come to realize that we are concerned about the capacity of God to heal us. We might not vocalize it, we might not say it because we want to be good believers, we don't want to act weird, and therefore we don't vocalize some of these things. And a certain sickness has hit your body. Sometimes you tend to wonder whether does God really has the power and the capacity to heal me from this sickness. But this morning, allow me to say, whatever sickness you have, Jesus has the capacity to heal you completely, not to heal you halfway. Because the Bible says, whom the Son of Man has set free, he is free indeed. If Jesus comes and he sets you free completely. Glory be to God. And this morning, this is what I want to push. And the fourth point I want to zero in this morning is this. Jesus is the ultimate healer for all infirmities. Jesus is the ultimate healer for all infirmities. Can you say amen to that? Can you say amen to that with faith this morning? That Jesus is the ultimate healer for your infirmities. Now allow me to say, and I say this with great level of sensitivities in my heart. The death of people around you is never an indication of a lack of capacity on the side of Jesus. People dying amongst us, people going in, to be with the Lord, some of them we feel they've gone prematurely. It's never a reflection of the capacity of Jesus to bring healing to you. Allow me to say that I lost my dad when I was 15 years old. And he was probably 54 at that time, 54, 55. He was fairly young. And I don't think it was the will of God for him to die at that point. But does that mean that God had no power to heal him and to deliver him from death at that point? No. It's not that God had no capacity. Now, this morning, I want you to realize that Jesus created the body. Jesus created your body, and this is a place where we need to start this morning. And the fact that he created your body, he has capacity to fix it up. He has capacity to fix it up. That is why when you buy a vehicle, maybe it's a Mercedes-Benz or it's a Ford, what they tell you is for its service intervals, you need to take it to a certified Ford dealership. Why? Because they know how to deal with Ford vehicles. So if you want to fix up something, you need to take it to the person who invented it or the person who created it. Why? Because they know the ins and outs of that product. Now, God created you. He formed you. And because he created you, I want you to know that he is able to fix it up. Glory be to God. I want you to look with me here from Psalm 139 from verse 13. I'm reading from the Passion Translation. The Bible says, "You formed my innermost being, shaping my delicate inside and my intricate outside." Jesus formed the inside. He formed the outside, which means because he formed the inside, he is able to touch your internal organs. Glory be to God. Because he formed the outside, he is able to touch your hip. He is able to touch your ankle that is giving you pain and sleepless nights. Why? Because the Bible tells us, shaping my delicate inside and my intricate outside. And you wove them all together in my mother's womb. I thank God for making me so mysteriously complex. So mysteriously complex. I like that, the way it is put together. And I want you to know that human beings can create complex machines, but they are not able to match the complexity found in a human body. Glory be to God. I'm so, so excited. He says here, for making me so mysteriously complex, everything you do is marvelously breathtaking. Everything that you do is marvelously breathtaking. It simply amazes me to think about it. How thoroughly you know me, Lord. Child of God, the Lord knows you very well. If you are married, you think that your wife knows you. I want you to know that God knows you thoroughly well, and that should bring comfort and faith that whatever part of your body that is having problems right now, he knows it thoroughly well. Glory be to God. If you look at verse 15, the Bible says here, "You even formed every bone in my body when you created me in the secret place, carefully, skillfully shaping me from nothing to something. You saw who you created me to be before I became." Hallelujah. Before I became me, you saw the one that you were creating. Hallelujah. Can you see that? You saw who you created me to be before I became me. Before you came into existence, before you walked into this life, he saw you. He saw you. Glory be to God. Now the Bible says, yeah, Before I had ever seen the light of day, the number of days you planned for me were already recorded in your book. Were already recorded in your book. This tells me something, that as I walk through life and sickness hits me at some point, God is able to deal with it because your days were seen before one of them came to reality. Hallelujah. Now, what that means is that if anything that is not in line with His will and purpose happens to you, God is able to fix it so that whatever thoughts were written out in the book for you can become a reality. Glory be to God. So God knows every detail about your body anatomy. He knows how you looked at the time of conception. Even way before you could be seen by a naked eye, God knew you. The question is, if God knows you to that detail, is He not able to bring healing to any part of your body? I want you to answer that by yourself. If God knows you thoroughly well, is He not able to fix up something that is not right? You know, if I've got my vehicle and my vehicle is giving me problems, the reason why I bought my vehicle, it is because I want that vehicle to take me from point A to point B. So there is a purpose for me buying a vehicle. So the moment my vehicle is failing to fulfill its purpose of taking me from work to my house, I take it into the garage, I get it fixed. Guess what? The same thing applies with God. God created you for a reason and for a purpose. I then go to Jeremiah chapter 1, where God was speaking to Jeremiah, says, "Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations." Which means that the moment Jeremiah was not in a position to fulfill his mandate of being a prophet to the nations, God would step in and do something so that Jeremiah could become the prophet to the nations. So if my car is not fulfilling its duty, I get very disappointed. I get very angry because then I'm stuck. I then get it fixed up. Can you imagine what happens in the heart of God when you are struck by an illness and you are not able to fulfill the purposes of God for you? When you call upon God, it is one of the reasons why God is prompted to come down and to change your situation. I like what Isaiah said. The Bible says in Isaiah 46 verse 3, He says here, "Listen to me, O house of Jacob." You see, God was talking to His people. The people of God were busy in a state of worshiping idols. And God was saying to them, can you just compare these idols and the God of Jacob, the God who took you out of Egypt, the God who made you? Can you really compare and think idols can do the same job as God, your creator? He was reasoning with His children. Now listen to what He says. He says here, "Listen to me, O house of Jacob, all the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been sustained from the womb, carried along since birth, even to your old age, I will be the same. I will bear you up when you turn gray. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you and deliver you." That is so powerful, saints. So what God was saying, when you were in your mother's womb, I sustained you. When you were young in kindergarten, when you were running around, even around some dangerous areas, I looked after you. I remember I had an incident when I was in grade 11 some time ago. When I was in grade 11, I was thrown in the pool at that time. I couldn't swim. And these guys thought I could swim. So they pushed me into the deep end of our pool at my high school. And there I was, slowly sinking and going down. And then the guys realized Michael cannot swim. They jumped in. They got me out. Can you imagine what would have happened if they had not jumped in? Now I look back and I say, the same God who saved me from a premature death, He's able to heal me of this sickness I'm going through. And this is what God was saying. He's saying here, who have been sustained from the womb. The Lord has sustained you from the womb, son. The Lord has sustained you from the womb. Whatever situation you've gone through, the one who kept you when you were young. He says here, even when your hairs are gray, I will look after you. I want to encourage you today to know that God is able to bring healing in your body. Now, I want you to realize that when sickness comes into our lives, we've got to look for God who is above sickness. There are a lot of ailments, there are a lot of help out there that we can run to, but some of them will not help unless the Lord steps in. And this morning, I want to zero in on the capacity of Jesus. Because Jesus is the one who is able. Remember we said he's got capacity to heal you of all your infirmities. He's got the capacity. And right now, I want to tell you that he is able. The Bible says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that which we can think or even imagine, God is able to do greater than you can think. So let's look at the supremacy of Jesus. Let's look at the nature of this Lord that we have come to know, that we have come to believe in. Glory be to God. So let's go on a journey this morning. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Colossians 1, verse 16. The Bible says, "For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers." Now look at this. "All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." Other version says he sustains all. He sustains all. So this morning I want you to see the supremacy of Jesus here. The Bible says, by him all things were made. Now your body was made by him. Situations that we see right now, I want you to know that they are all under the control of Jesus. This is the supremacy of the Lord Jesus over situations. Glory be to God. Now, in this, the supremacy of Christ is clearly brought to our attention. And I want to zero in on that. I want you to know, by him everything was created. By him everything was created. Secondly, when he created everything, he created them for his enjoyment. You were created for his pleasure. You were created to worship him. Glory be to God. And that is why David says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and everything that is within me, bless his holy name." So right now, I want you to know that when God looks at you, he is expecting glorification. He is expecting you to adore him, to say, "Hallowed be thy name, O God." Hallelujah. I'm talking about us being created in order to bring pleasure to him. For him, everything was created. And then he says there, "And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." All things are sustained by Jesus. Your health is sustained by Jesus. You can count on him that he's got the capacity to sustain you. He's got the capacity to bear you, to carry you, to take you through fire. He's got capacity to take you across your storms. Glory be to God. The Bible says, by him, all things consist. By him, all things are sustained. And this morning, I believe this message goes beyond just the issue of healing. I believe this message should be faith building for your situation right now, for you to know that there is no situation that God cannot handle. Why? Because he sustains everything. Glory be to God. He sustains everything. Look at Hebrews 1, verse 3. "The sun is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his nature." Other versions is exact replica. Exact representation of his nature. "Upholding all things by his powerful word." You know, this is so profound. Upholding everything by his powerful word. Remember, he spoke spoke the world into being, if he spoke the world into being, he can speak your situation into turning around so that your body can become whole again. The Bible says here, by his powerful word, he upholds everything. By his powerful word, he can uphold your marriage. By his powerful word, he can uphold our nation. You know, you hear what's happening in our country right now, just as a by the way. You see, they're talking about our economy will contract by probably 6%. Millions of jobs will be lost. If you and I believe, if you and I pray, do you know that this powerful word can uphold the economy of this country? Do you believe that his powerful word that spoke all these things into being is not able to uphold our economy? I believe God can do that. Upholding all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. This is so profound. And I want to challenge you this morning to allow the powerful word to enter your spirit man. Allow the powerful word of God to enter your heart right now. Because as the word enters into your life, the things that are not right will be put in place. Glory be to God. You remember what the Bible says from Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the world. Allah, in the beginning, God created the world. And then some point the Bible says the earth was without form. The earth was void. And the Holy Spirit was hovering on top of the waters. And then the word was spoken, let there be light. You know, the word brought order where there was no order. And right now, I want you to know that the moment you allow the word of God to enter your spirit man, the word of God will bring forth order. The word of God will realign everything that is out of order to align with the purposes of God for you. Can I hear a big amen right now? This is what God says. By his powerful word, he upholds everything. I want to take you again to John 1:1. This is so profound. I'm talking about the supremacy of Jesus, which speaks to the capacity that Jesus has to deal with your cancer, to deal with your headache, to deal with whatever you're experiencing right now. The Bible tells us here in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. This is talking about Jesus. The same was in the beginning. The Bible says here, he was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. And without him, not even one thing came into being that has come into being. Not even one. Not even a small little bird came into being. If the word was not spoken, these things would not have been created. And the Bible then tells us in Hebrews 11, by faith we know that the world was framed by the word of God. By faith we know that this seen world was created by unseen words. Now, if the word of God is so powerful to create all the universes, the galaxies and the stars and all of that we celebrate when you look up, is he not able to speak health to your body right now? We are talking about all things came into being through him, and without him, not even one thing came into being. It then tells me something. It's not the issue of capacity that we are dealing with. Because the source is sorted. The Lord says everything is created by the word. Maybe it then comes to me, how am I able to receive this powerful word? How am I able to appropriate it into my life so that I can walk in good health? Can somebody say amen to that? So what is this talking about? The supremacy of Jesus means he also reigns over every infirmity. The supremacy of Jesus means he also reigns over every infirmity. He has got control. Glory be to God. Remember, the Bible says nothing was made. Now in Colossians, things that are seen and things that are not seen, principalities and powers. And I want you to know that some sicknesses, the root of those sicknesses are spiritual. And the Bible tells us that principalities and powers are under him. Glory be to God. So The supremacy of Jesus means he also reigns over every infirmity, over every disease. Right now, if you are sick in your body, I want you to repeat after me and say, you ulcer, you are under the rulership of Jesus. You headache, you are under the rulership of Jesus. And because of that, you will have no power over my body in Jesus' name. That's a powerful statement, powerful confession to make. Why? Because you are rightly positioning Jesus in your situation. Glory be to God. Let me take it deeper. This is very good. But one of the things that I've realized in Christendom is that pretty much most, if not all, theologians agree on the fact that Jesus, by giving his life on the cross, paid the price for our salvation. Pretty much every theologian agrees to the fact that by Jesus dying on the cross, he paid for our sins. And therefore, when you say, Jesus, I believe in you, we know that we move from being spiritually dead to being spiritually alive. Now, however, there is a flip side of this coin. It's one coin. It's the issue of the finished works of Calvary. That is the issue. But on one side, we all agree that through that, we've got access to God. Our relationship with God has been restored. And we all agree on that. But there's another side of this coin that we tend not to agree. Now, there is a great level of contestation and divergence of views around whether the atonement, whether the finished works of Calvary included your healing, your physical healing. We agree on the spiritual healing, but we don't so much agree on the physical aspect of the atonement of the finished works of Calvary. Do you believe right now that his atonement paid the price for your healing physically right now, for your healing emotionally? Or you feel that as far as healing physically is concerned, it's not part of the work on the cross? Now, this morning, this is my view, this is my belief, and I have a conviction based on scriptures that your healing was provided for in the atonement. Your healing was provided for in the atonement. And the atonement here refers to Christ's suffering at the hands of Pilate and his crucifixion. When Jesus suffered, there was atoning blood of Jesus that was shed. And I'm saying that your healing was provided for in the atonement. Glory be to God. I really believe this with all my heart. And this is one proposition I want to make to you. That the moment you think that physical healing is not part of the atonement, then you are at the mercy of fate and not destiny. Think about that. Let it sink in your heart and your spirit, man. The moment you think that physical healing was not provided for in the atonement, then you are at the mercy of fate and not destiny. The moment you think that my physical healing was not provided for, it means that it's a case of maybe or maybe not. It's a case of whether it happens, it happens. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. You're now living in that fateful state of life, which is contrary to faith. And the Bible tells us that whatever is done not out of faith is sinful to that person. The moment you think that, well, maybe I can get healed, then you're in this doubting zone. And that is where we need to say, Lord, help my unbelief. But I believe that the moment we say, my healing was on the cross, I step right in line with destiny. Because when Jesus said, it is finished, he also meant that the power of sickness over your body is finished. Glory be to God. I want to live in the realm of destiny and not in the realm of fate. I believe in purpose. I believe in a purpose-driven life. I believe in destiny, and therefore, when I am convinced that my healing was bought on the cross, I then pray with faith, with conviction, with a greater level of expectation. Why? Because he said, it is finished. Glory be to God. Go with me to Isaiah 53, verse 4. I'm going to read from the NIV. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 53, verse 4 to 5, surely, almost to say without a doubt, it's an emphatic phrase. Surely he took up our infirmities. He took up our infirmities. When you look at that word infirmities in the Hebrew root of the word infirmity has nothing to do with sin. It has everything to do with sickness of your body. So what is being referred to here is physical sickness, not spiritual sickness. You'll find spiritual sickness being dealt with in verse 6 and other verses going down. But as far as this verse 4 is concerned, that infirmity speaks of sickness, your physical body. And therefore, what Jesus was doing on the cross of Calvary, the Bible is telling us that it had also to do with your physical sickness. The Bible says here, he took up. Other version says, he removed our sickness. He bore our sickness. Glory be to God. He lifted our sickness and carried our sorrows. And that word sorrow in the Hebrew, it is pains. When you are sick, there is pain and there is sorrow that comes out of sickness. And the Bible says, he carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God. We thought it was because of his own issues. We thought it was because he had committed sin and therefore he deserved that punishment. No. It was because he had you and I in mind. He had the church in mind. He had the new Israel in mind. Glory be to God. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. You hear that? But the punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Very, very powerful for you to realize when we speak of the atonement, the price that was paid by Jesus, the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary, it had a two offering. It was offering spiritual healing, restoring our relationship with the Father, but it also had the ability to restore our physical body. So on that day, Jesus, with power and with glory, he broke the power of sickness over your body. He bore. He lifted your sickness. It speaks of taking away. He took away your sickness. Now, I want you to know that when we say he took away our sickness, positionally in the spirit, that is where we belong. But in reality, we've got other issues coming up, and therefore we need to close the gap between our position in the spirit and our reality, and we need to bring a link between the two so that we can walk in our position in Christ. Glory be to God. The Bible talks about how Jesus disarmed the powers of darkness. Jesus disarmed the powers of darkness. Do you know that when Adam and Eve committed sin, they handed over authority and power to the devil? In other words, the devil was now the god of this world, having dominion, having authority to tell people what they should do, to send sickness, and sickness would stay there. Why? Because he's a father of the dark world, and therefore he's got control over sickness. But when Jesus came, he broke the power. He usurped, he removed the power that was in the hands of the devil to cause you to continuously being sick. Does somebody hear me this morning? Look at this. Colossians 2, verse 13. The Bible says, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. All right? Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and has taken it out of the way, nailing it on the cross. Having stripped rulers and authorities, he made a show of them publicly, triumphing over them in it. So powerful. When the devil took over, when we sold out, the devil had authority, had power, had control as to what happens on this world. But when Jesus came, the Bible tells me, using military terms, these are military terms, the Bible tells us that the devil and his fallen angels were completely subdued by the death of Jesus. Hallelujah. Here the Bible tells me that having stripped rulers and authorities, he made a show of them publicly. In other words, he took power from them. Back in the days when nations would fight or tribes would fight, they would go in and fight a group, and then they would take control of it and stripping the leaders there of authority to rule again. And this is the point. So when Jesus came, he removed every ordinance that was spoken, that was written against us. In other words, there was a sentence that was proclaimed over everybody because of what happened in the Garden of Eden. And the Bible says Jesus came and took away those ordinances that were written against us, nailed them on the cross, and then he took power from the devil. And as he was doing that, he handed over power to everybody who believes. So when you're a child of God, you're walking in a place of power. You're walking in a place of authority where you're able to remind the devil of what happened on the cross. The devil, you were defeated. Power was taken away from you. And you remind him of his fateful end where he will end up in the pit of fire. Now, every child of God needs to understand this, that the devil and his fallen angels were completely subdued by the death of Jesus on that day. A complete victory was achieved by his death. Hallelujah. It was complete because it dealt with your spirit man. It dealt with your physical body, where you're able to walk in good health because the devil was subdued by his death. So, when we used to be in subjection to him, we no longer have anything to fear. And this morning, I want to speak to somebody right now. You feel like there's a hereditary sickness that has been pursuing you. Child of God, don't walk in fear. Because Jesus subdued principalities and powers. And hereditary sickness is steeped in a spiritual stronghold that has been pursuing your family. But I want you to know that when you rise up in the name of Jesus, you're able to break that stronghold and to walk free from that sickness in the name of Jesus. So by his death, Christ subdued the devil who had invaded and captured humanity. We are no longer under the capture of the enemy. We've been freed by Jesus Christ. I wish somebody's faith would rise up right now. Glory be to God. Look at this. Jesus came as the sent one of God and with all power to bring about the kingdom of God. So all along, they were waiting for the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God was heralded by Jesus when he came. He started declaring, and the Bible says he began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And this morning, I want you to know that what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary enables the kingdom of God to be revealed. It enables us to enjoy the rulership of God, because that is what the kingdom of God is. It is a kingdom that is a king on its throne, and Jesus is on the throne. Glory be to God. He says, "Repent, for the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now, you would hear Jesus saying, "I have come to do the will of him that sent me." So when Jesus came on the cross, when Jesus came on earth, he was fulfilling a mandate. He was fulfilling what God, the God, had wanted to be done in that season. Just look at me. Jesus is the sent one. He was sent to bring about, to incept, or to bring inception of the kingdom of God. And I thank God that I'm in the kingdom. Glory be to God. And the kingdom has benefits. If you are in the kingdom of God, healing is one of the benefits of being in the kingdom. Glory be to God. Now the Bible says here, it says here, "All that the Father gives me will come to me." And the one who comes to me, I will not by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. The will of him who sent me. Jesus was sent by God the Father to bring about the kingdom of heaven, to remove the power and authority that the devil had over the people. That is why Jesus declared and said, "It is finished." Glory be to God. So Jesus is the sent one. If you look at John 7 verse 33, it says here, "I shall be with you a little while longer. And then I go to him who sent me." Then I go to him who sent me. What is the story here? Jesus was sent out to bring about the kingdom of God. And you see, when Jesus came on earth, when he was introduced, the Bible talks about how the Holy Spirit came upon him, giving him power and ability to do miracles and heralding the kingdom of God and telling the people that this is the time that you've been waiting for. The Messiah has been revealed. Glory be to God. Look at me. Look at Acts 10, verse 38. The Bible says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good. And what was the good? He went about doing good, healing all those who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. He went about doing good, healing the sick. Hallelujah. I'm talking about Jesus who came with the kingdom of God. It says here he was anointed by God. He was given capacity. He was given a grace to minister life to those who needed life. Now, Jesus went about healing the sick. When you look at Matthew 8, the Bible tells us that when evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. Healed all the sick. Now look at that part. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities. Remember, we read Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4. And it says here, he took up our infirmities and carried our diseases. Now, this is so beautiful because Jesus was bringing about the kingdom. And he was showing a pattern. He was showing life in the kingdom. Hallelujah. I want you to know that this instance was not just to make the Jews to believe that he was the Messiah. But what Jesus was doing, he was saying to the people, this is the new norm. This is the new norm. Your healing is a new norm. Your deliverance is a new norm. Miracles in your life is a new norm. Hallelujah. And Jesus was telling them. Now, I want you to realize something, that the earthly ministry of Jesus showed a pattern, showed a picture and a pattern of life in the new kingdom. It was a pattern. And that kingdom is alive today. We are in the kingdom. And therefore, what Jesus did and what the apostles did in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, it is what we should expect and experience right now. Glory be to God. Because we are in the kingdom. We are people of the kingdom. Glory be to God. Oh man, I'm so excited. He says, "I came that they might have life, and life in abundance." John 10:10. "I came that they might have life and life in abundance." And this is what I want you to believe, that he wants you to have life. The Bible says the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I came that they might have life and life in its fullness. And full life includes good health. Glory be to God. I really hope that somebody is getting this in their spirit, man, and walk in healing. When the disciples of John came, remember John the Baptist was incarcerated by Herod. And just before he was killed, he started doubting and wondering whether the Messiah really had come, whether Jesus was the Messiah or we should expect another. And therefore he sent his disciples to Jesus, say, "Please go and check whether he is the Messiah or should we expect another?" Very funny, because John had forgotten that he was the one who heralded the Messiah. He was the one who said, "Behold the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world." But he was in a very difficult space. So now look at how Jesus responded to the disciples of John. Look at this from Luke 7 verse 21. The Bible says at that very hour, Jesus healed many people of their diseases. So the disciples of John were wondering whether Jesus was the real deal or another Messiah should come. And what Jesus did, instead of making too much noise, he performed the acts of the kingdom. He performed the acts of the kingdom. And these are part of the acts of the kingdom. He says that at that very hour, Jesus healed many people of their diseases, afflictions, and evil spirits. And he gave sight to many who were blind. Verse 22. So he replied, "Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the good news is preached to the poor." Hallelujah. Can somebody say hallelujah to the Son of the living God? We are in his kingdom. And so what Jesus was doing here, he was telling John through his disciples that the kingdom of God is here, because the sick are being healed, the bound are being set free, the blind are seeing, the dead are being raised. I really believe that if the church can rise up and believe this kingdom message, we'll begin to see miracles popping up like popcorns all over the place. Hallelujah. Our problem is we are rationalizing our unbelief, and therefore we say it is not part of us. It's not our portion. But Jesus said to John, "Go tell them. Let John know that the kingdom is at work. The power of darkness is being stripped." Why? Because the sick are being healed. Glory be to God. Now, the first coming of Jesus, this is very important, that the first coming of Jesus was the inception of the kingdom of God. So when Jesus came and he died, he rose on the third day, it was a process of bringing about the kingdom. But the fullness of the kingdom shall be experienced the day that we are taken to be with the Lord. The day of the second coming of Jesus. That is when we will experience the fullness of the kingdom of God. So you know what? There are some things that might not happen now, but we know some of you might be healed because you're being taken into glory. You go to be with the Father. But what am I talking this morning? That all of these experiences is simply the inception of the kingdom of God. But the complete kingdom of God will be experienced on the second coming of Jesus, when our bodies and this whole world is turned around. Glory be to God. The Bible talks about how creation is groaning for the manifestations of man. Creation is waiting for that day that it will be taken away from the pain of this world. Hallelujah. The Bible says when Jesus comes, we shall be with him. We shall be in a place where there is no more sorrow, where there is no more pain, where there is no more sickness, where there is no more death. Glory be to God. So I want you to know that the kingdom of God is at hand, but its fullness will happen when the wedding happens between the bride and the bridegroom. Glory be to God. What am I saying this morning? I want you to realize, in Christ's atonement, God provided for both spiritual and physical healing. Whatever your situation, this is very, very key for you to get a revelation of. And secondly, the cross of Jesus gives us power from bondage to demonic oppression, to sickness, to disease, and emotional illness. My prayer for you today is that you would experience the product, the byproduct of the atonement. Don't allow doubt or different teachings to sway you from believing that Jesus wants to heal you. This morning, I want us to make prayers of thanksgiving, because Jesus has the capacity. I want us to thank him that he wants to heal and he's able. Whatever your situation, I want you to thank Jesus and mention that, "Lord, I thank you that you got power to heal me from this. You've got power to heal me from this. You've got power to open my ears." So stretch out your hands right now and give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Father, we thank you that you do not leave things to ourselves to figure out, to try and heal ourselves. We thank you that through the atonement, we have physical healing that was paid by Jesus. Father, this morning I thank you that you have the capacity and you have the ability. Lord, I thank you that you're the supreme God. You are above every sickness. You are above cancer. You are above headaches. You are above ulcers. Lord, we thank you right now that you are above even mental sickness, oh God. We bless your holy name today. We thank you in advance that we walk in good health. We declare today in the name of Jesus that we will walk in complete healing because Jesus, you brought it to us. Today we give you honor. We give you praise, oh God, for you are a good God. You are a loving Father. Holy Spirit of God, help my brother, help my sister to know that you have the capacity to heal. We thank you today for this word. Again, I want you to know that the first entry point is to receive Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. Actually, I want you to know that even if you're not born again, God is able to heal you. Because when you are healed, even in your state of being a sinner, you will realize that He loves you. Because the Bible tells us that the goodness of the Lord leads us to repentance. But maybe you've heard this word and you're saying, I want Jesus. I have believed already in my heart. Well done for that. But I want to lend you my words right now. I want you to pray and trust that transformation is taking place right now. You won't feel any goosebumps. It is a step of faith. Now, I want you to pray after me and say, Dear Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe that you are the Messiah, that you came and you died for me. I have heard your word this morning, and I realize that I am lost and I need a Savior. Please, Lord, come into my life. Make me a child of God. Forgive me of all my wrongdoings, the big sins, the small things. Cleanse me by your blood. I receive your forgiveness this morning, and I give you my life. Thank you for making me a child of God. From today, I will walk with you. I belong to you, and you are mine. Thank you for saving me. My friend, if you have made that prayer, you are now a child of God. Now, I want to help you to grow in the Lord. Even in this lockdown, we want to send you an e-book that will help you, that will ground you in your walk with the Lord Jesus. On our website, under our contact tab, there is a form there. Fill it out. I will send you a gift that will help you to get going in your new life. May the Lord bless you. Thank you so much for being with us this morning. I believe the Lord has ministered to you in a powerful, powerful way. I want to encourage you to listen to this message until your faith has been built up. Next week, I'm going to go to the next level where we are going to be talking about how to appropriate healing. How do we experience this gift of healing? Because there are technologies and there are ways of receiving that healing. And I'm going to take you through next week. Don't miss out on that. Again, I want to thank you all for giving towards the work of the ministry. We still need to pay our rent and different bills. Thank you so much for being faithful. I want to encourage you to continue doing that. Again, on our website, you'll find our banking details under the giving tab. May the Lord bless you as you give. May He remember you in this season. I know some of you are troubled with concerning your work. The Lord has your back covered. He always takes you out of trouble. He will do it again. May the peace and the shalom of the Lord be with you until we meet again next week on the same channel at the same time. God bless you. Thank you for watching. Amen.